Maya Angelou says it better. We're more the same than we are different.
Welcome to the Real, Raw, and Free podcast. And girl, you've come to the right place if you're ready to raise your vibes and drop your fucks. I'm your favorite hype girl, Yolanda Russell. I've gone from being a burnt out nurse to helping women step into a more confident and authentic version of themselves. Join us every week for raw inspiration, mindset hacks, and other tips to help you live a life that is unapologetically real, raw, and free as fuck. I love you so much. Let's do this. Hey girl, hey, welcome back to the Real Raw and Free podcast. It's your girl Yolanda, and I'm so pumped to hang out with you today. And actually, over the next few episodes of the podcast, we're going to be getting into like some relationship stuff and bringing on just some powerful women that are single, married, divorced, and just connecting with you wherever you might be in your own personal life. So I want to remind you that I do have a new screen name on Instagram, though if you were following the Kinda Fit Chick, you don't need to do anything, but my new screen name is XO_Yolanda Russell. I'm going to just keep reminding you of that over the next bit, but I'm really excited today. I connected with our special guest. Her name is Chandra over Instagram, and there was like this random ass day, which if you're here and you're a business owner, this is a reminder of why it's so important for you to show up on your Instagram stories and put your shit out there. And sometimes putting your shit out there is just like, ooh, let me see if it's going to stick. But it's putting your stuff out there and letting people know that you're serious about the direction that you're going to go. So one day I just remember putting up on my stories like, hey, if you want to be on the podcast, swipe up, and not expecting anybody to do anything. And then of course, universe laughs at us always. I have this email and it was for a podcast guest. And I was like, okay, this is cool. And so what I like to do before anybody comes on the podcast, and if you have been listening, you're like, oh my God, I have a story I want to tell. What we do is we connect like real humans first. We get out of DMs and we connect over a video message just to make sure like our energy is going to vibe and figure out what we're going to talk about. And then we actually take the time to set and record. The women that are coming here, I feel like they do. They embody that real, raw, and free lifestyle. And I know that they're just going to help you level up. So, Chandra, without further ado.
Okay, great. So, hey, everyone. And hey, Yolanda. Thanks so much for inviting me to be on the podcast, to be a guest. I'm really excited to hop into some conversation about relationships with you. But again, yep, my name is Chandra Pope, and you can find me on Instagram at Chandra Pope. I am, gosh, a multifaceted woman. I am a wife and a mom to two beautiful girls, and I guess I'm what people call a serial entrepreneur. I own a consulting practice where I work with nonprofit organizations to do policy advocacy work. I also am a network marketer, so I have a business in the beauty skincare industry. And then I also have a lifestyle apparel brand, which I'm sure we'll get into more of that. But it's really just a note to my family and some of the things that we prioritize and, you know, hold true to ourselves. So that's who I am. And I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's one of those things that I would love to kind of jam with you and figure out how you decided or knew that you were an entrepreneur. Because I think that for the woman that is listening, and maybe you are in corporate America right now, but you're like, oh my God, I have all these ideas. How did you kind of start bringing your ideas to life that you wanted to work for yourself?
Well, it was, I think it was just a combination of, like you said, the universe and happenstance, honestly. I started out my career, you know, the traditional corporate route, and worked really for a couple of nonprofit organizations. I actually thought that I was going to go to law school. That's what I intended to do when I graduated. But I ended up just taking a very different route just because of my love for policy and politics, and did a little bit of community organizing. And honestly, life happened to me. I fell in love, at least I thought I was in love, early on with somebody I was dating while I was traveling. And I ended up getting pregnant with my first daughter. And I knew at that time that
Time out. I gotta stop. You got pregnant on your vacation or no?
No, I got pregnant with somebody who was working alongside me in my organization.
Gotcha. I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. Like you go on a travel trip or a vacation and you're like, oopsie.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Nope, not that. Close, but not that.
All right. Sorry. I had to let's clarify that.
It could have very well been that way. Cause what the organization that I worked for, I always say it was kind of like the real world, you know, the show, because we worked so many long hours and we all stayed in the same hotel. And so the relationships kind of, even though some of those relationships lasted, to be honest, they were really surface level. And when it's all you got, you think, oh, well, I see you every day. I'm in love with you. Oh my God. And you know what that turns into, nights out. And all of a sudden, I hope my daughter never hears this podcast, but you know, I ended up having a couple of, you know, fun nights and I ended up pregnant. And to be honest, when I found out I was pregnant, I was disappointed in myself because I didn't want to be that girl. You know, I didn't want to be, my mom was pregnant as a teenager and I always knew that I wanted to be married, have the white picket fence and have a family, you know, my 2+1 and my dog. And so I was really disappointed in myself. And I knew, honestly, I knew I wasn't in love, but I wasn't going to be a statistic. And so I said yes in hopes that I would fall in love. And not a year later, I was divorced and ended up being a single mom anyway. So
wow.
I don't even know what that has to do with like my career trajectory, but...
No, but I think it's a perfect segue to what we are going to chat about today. And, you know, I mentioned we're going to talk about relationships, and Chandra and I are similar in the fact that we are in interracial relationships. But I think that you kind of are in a unique situation where you had a marriage previously. I'm curious, and actually I kind of want to talk about this, and I don't know if we like really saw this coming up in this conversation, but I think that there are many women that have this timeline and this idea of this is how I'm supposed to do it. I don't want to be a statistic, especially as us as Black women. Let's call it for what it is. Like, not that we're about race, although we are going to chat about race today. It is this statistical thing. I know growing up in a single parent home, when everybody was dropping their kids off at college and crying, my mom was fucking celebrating because it was this, not only she didn't get pregnant, none of this like bad shit that could have happened without having a dad and all these other things, but she also got me off to college. And I think that that was just such a moment of celebration for her, you know, not being statistical. With getting pregnant and kind of feeling like this pressure of, oh, I have to do the right things, but also knowing this isn't right. I'm kind of curious, you know, what was it like to say yes in that kind of situation where it's like, I know I'm not in love, but I'm just trying to do these things because it's on a timeline.
Yeah, it was difficult, to be honest. On my wedding day, I told my best friend, I was like, please don't make me do this. Like, tell me not to do this. And she was like, I can't tell you not to do this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was difficult. In hindsight, I think that this is where I really started to just grow a lot, because I think that I was, in how I was raised, I was influenced by a lot of other people's opinions about me. And so, and I also recognize in my first marriage, how immature I was because I was so disappointed. The decision wasn't about, you know, what was best for me. And so because of that, I showed up in that relationship with that attitude and with that posture. And so it didn't matter if, you know, my ex-husband was doing anything to be, you know, good to me as a husband. I was still, in my mind, the only reason I was in that marriage was because I was pregnant. And so you can't, there's nothing that you can do to have a healthy relationship if that's the approach that you're taking. But yeah, it was difficult. And I continued to stay because I was continually battling against all the things like, oh, my parents paid for this wedding. Oh, I don't want to be at the grocery store with my daughter and I don't have on a wedding ring. You know, oh, I don't want him to be hurt. Because he was in love with me.
I was going to ask like that. A jerk. Yeah, I was going to ask that. I'm like, okay, so you know that you're not in love. Was this like a mutual feeling or was he like very infatuated and wanted things to work and for it to be like that kind of 2+, you know, family of 2+ your dog or whatever they say. I don't even know.
No, yeah, he was definitely, and he was really disappointed with the divorce. Although, you know, I mean, I feel like this could be like episode 5 and 6. I think that because of, like I said, my attitude in the marriage, things just started to really break down early on. Because he used to say, I looked to him a lot to define my happiness. And so when things started to break down in the relationship, he's the one who filed for the divorce for me. And there were just so many other things that just began to just build on top of each other that really, you know, ended up in this place where we said, you know, it's best if we aren't together. And it wasn't pretty. I mean, but, you know, I don't know many divorces that are.
That's a really interesting thing, because from the perspective of, okay, I'm really the unhappy one, I'm kind of just doing this to do this, it wasn't you that filed for the divorce.
No.
When he did, were you kind of like blindsided by it?
I was, and I was upset. Isn't that crazy? I was upset about it. I was like, how dare you divorce me even though I don't want to be married to you? Like,
for sure.
Who divorces me? But yes, I was blindsided by it. I actually remember the day that I got served with divorce papers, because I had already come back from where I was living with him back home. And because, like I said, things were just getting bad, like we just weren't communicating well. And there are just a lot of other elements that, you know, isn't even worth getting into at this time that, you know, like I said, just built on top of what was happening. And I remember I was in the room that I was staying in at my mom's house, and somebody came and served papers, and my grandfather answered the door. And I was so surprised. I was like, I can't even believe that this is happening. But that was then, you know.
but you had already left the situation. Like, it was, the writing was literally on the wall, but
Maybe
still was just holding on to this idea, this feeling. And I think identity keeps so many of us stuck. It's this, you know, I want this. I don't want to be the statistic. I don't want to be XYZ. Or even on the other end of it is, I want to be this. I want to paint this perfect picture. That really will just keep us so trapped. And I think, thank you for sharing that. I talk to so many women that eventually just need power in leaving situations. And I just think anytime that we can share stories and experience, your struggle to me is a blessing and a lesson, you know? And I think that that's so powerful. And I just know that there are going to be women that are going to DM me as they're listening to this, or even you, because I'll make sure that we link your Instagram into the show notes. Like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going through. This is what I've been through. Or for the girl that maybe is 22 years old, it's like, bitches, y'all sound crazy, but might find herself in this situation, you know, 5 years from now, because we just don't know.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, this is why I'm so adamant about, like, you know, working with women to just break through this, the status quo, because it can be so crippling. And even though he served me with divorce papers, and maybe that was kind of the catalyst, I wasn't afraid to go up to begin moving either. Like, you know, after, but like I said, things were in motion before he served me. And I always tell my friends and people who are in relationships that they're just not happy in, whether it's, you know, in a job or with a friend, even in family situations, you know, I mean, we don't get to choose our family. And so sometimes you just have to know what's best for you and have the courage to say, hey, I'm out of here, and just know and have faith that there's something better for you on the other side, you know? And even if that means, like, cause I'm telling you, when it was over, I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm never getting married again. Me and my baby, we gonna be all right.
We're gonna be nuns. Like, we're not gonna do anything. We're gonna, like, you know, Admit ourselves to the convent and, like,
Let's go. I was like, rose gold bathrooms, here we come.
I love it. So I'm curious, is your ex-husband, what is the relationship currently with your daughter and even with you? Because co-parenting is really important. And I come from single parent. My parents were divorced at the age of 2, and my father never choosing to be a part of my life journey.
Yeah. My daughter has an amazing relationship with her dad. It has changed as our lives have changed. So after we were divorced, he was really, really close, because it was just, you know, he and I and our daughter. We made all of the mistakes that I actually talk to a lot of women about, like, you know, well, she'll be at your house Monday through Thursday and she'll be with me Friday through Tuesday, you know? And so we had this relationship where I feel like we were co-parenting, but not really. You know, it was like we were just like sharing the child. Like, I don't know. It didn't feel like parenting necessarily. And then as I, you know, finally did get remarried, and he got remarried and has children of his own as well, the relationship between him and my daughter has actually changed, because there are certain priorities now that don't allow him to be as present as he used to be. And that's a lot of growing pains as well. It's interesting because I see a lot of blogs and Instagram pages that support co-parenting in this kind of avant-garde way. Like, you know, we should all go to the game together. And I'm really cynical about that, because I remember when my daughter was, she may have been 4 or 5, and I was remarried, and she actually told me and my now husband that she wanted us all to live in the house together. And we're like, that's just absurd. We are in a place where we're cordial, and we speak during the drop-off pickup, but we're not like at this place where we're kumbaya, let's all go have dinner together. And I actually think that I support that, because it allows us to have some individuality. I feel like a lot of what I'm seeing is a little bit, a little pie in the sky.
So like this unrealistic, like, you can't put yourself into that scenario kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, I feel like unrealistic, but I feel like I appreciate the idea that, you know, the new blended family is like, you know, the Brady Bunch, except family, like, you know, meet two husbands and two wives that are like living together or like playing together. But I just think that because there's so much healing that happens between two people who have been divorced, and then I think even bringing in a whole other set, you know, another partner who may have their own opinions and experiences. I mean, I just feel like I don't know how possible it is. And I think that there's just something that's being lifted up that maybe gives people hope that is just not, yeah, that's not real. I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating that well, but it makes me feel like people, divorce is almost like glamorized. Because now if you're divorced and you come into this combined family, it's okay because we'll all just parent the child together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't imagine that scenario, because Stefan had an ex-wife, you know, has two kids, but I never came into my role in their lives as, oh, I'm going to be your mom. Like, if anything, like, it's a fucking joke. Like, you know, I'm like the big sister, kind of, to be quite honest. But it never was this, we never kumbaya'd, but that was never Stefan's relationship with her either. It was very like, okay, we're here for the kids, but it's none of this like force, like, let's hang out, like, let's do the things together. And I just always took the lead that he had, you know, with her. Have I met her? Yes, absolutely. But it never was this like, oh, I'm worried about how you're going to be parenting my kids and all these things, because that just really was never my role.
And, you know, like you, I've heard you say, like, you're just like honest, right? And just being very authentic. And I think that it's difficult to be very authentic when you're in a situation. Again, like, I mean, let's be clear. This isn't somebody who just happens to be my friend. Like, we were divorced, and we were divorced for a reason. And even if our divorce wasn't tumultuous, the fact of the matter is we realized that we could be not even friends, but acquaintances that say hello. And, you know, so there are all those things that you still are working through. I still work through some of the trauma that I experienced in my first marriage, and not like, again, not like, you know, abuse, but just the trauma of feeling like, you know, you invested in something that, like, I sobbed when I got a divorce. Not like boohoo cry, but like, you know, sitting on the sofa just sobbing because I felt like I had to bury something that I wanted to have life in, you know? And so just, I think coming into this idea that we can all play together in a very like superficial, like, oh, let's all go to the baseball game. And then after that, let's go to dinner. And then like, let's have this sleepover, which I'm being way cynical about it, but you know, it just doesn't feel very real to me.
You have friends that live this scenario, that obviously nobody's doing a sleepover thing. That's like extremely extra, but you have friends that kind of are parenting in this way.
I don't know anyone personally, but I see a lot of it. Like, now I feel like that it's what is being propped up as like, this is the new kind of way to parent. And I'm honest with my children, right? So I grew up in a household. I remember my father used to tell me, my cousins are my cousins, my aunts are my aunts. So calling my cousin auntie somebody when they're really my cousin, just, we were very clear about like what our relationships were. And so I'm clear with my daughter, my youngest, like, this is Victoria's dad, you know, and though her sisters are her sisters, and this is your sister. So it just creates like the, I don't know, I'm very intentional about delineation.
Yeah, it's almost like a boundary setting. Mm-hmm. Boundary setting so that there is no blurred lines. And I'm kind of curious, how old is your first daughter?
13.
Oh, she's 13. Okay, so she has like a lot of understanding. Kids like know everything, like at this point in life.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's impacted her in a sense that maybe you can see it being like you said, like your divorce was like this traumatic experience that you've had to heal. Do you feel like the divorce is going to be a trauma for her going down, you know, in her life and how she views marriage and those kind of things? What are kind of your thoughts on that?
Oh, I do for sure. It's just so evident. She actually felt like for a very long time, and it's something that we still work through with her, that she had to have two separate families. So little things like, you know, if I get clothes at my dad's house and they have to stay there. And if I get clothes at mommy's house and they have to stay there. So everything was always like, you know, separate for her. And I think it's created her to have to work within herself. And oppress a lot of emotions because she doesn't want him to, what's happening over here, to upset me and vice versa. But I think that that happens in any instance. And I think that the bringing everybody together just creates more confusing because it's just, you know, throwing the rug over it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, but I can relate to this idea of, I never would have told my mom like, oh, I wish I knew how my dad was, because I understood at a very young age that that was not going to serve her. And, you know, I think it is kind of asking children to be grown-ups and to have this like more like grown-up thought process than we would expect them to really have. I love this. And I love just how open you've been about, you know, these struggles. And I just think to, you know, the mom that's here potentially beating herself up over what impact marriage or divorce has had on your families, is it a reminder to give yourself grace? We all have things that we navigate. And I think just giving our children tools to be able to deal with their feelings and things like that. And I really haven't talked much about it, but we've had significant change in our family to the point where we became full-time parents overnight. And it really has just been really important for the boys to have the tools that they need to cope and deal with what it is that they're going through. It's not quite something I'm ready to talk about yet, but it's been a huge change. So I think it's a great way to segue. Like, I feel like we went off this amazing and valuable tangent. I just wanted to kind of open up and chat with you about how you met your husband and the dynamic of not only being interracial and married, but also interracial living in the South. And just how him coming into your life and into your first daughter's life and how you guys are making all that work. Tell us just all the things.
For sure. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, I literally thought I'll never get married again. But you know, I think I had to go through that first marriage to like really get down and take a look at myself in the mirror and say, was I the wife that I needed to be? And then be like, okay, all right, you need to get real with yourself first, Chandra. But no, so my husband now, I love him, adore him. He's like my best friend. I always tell people on paper, we couldn't be any different. I was raised in the South. And I tell people all the time. So my mom, I love her dearly, but she was always very adamant about making sure that we understood who we are. Eyes on the Prize would come on in my house and she would shut it down. Like, we were like the kids that read like Uncle Tom's Cabin and all, like, you know, the sweeter, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice during summer, and had to like write book reports about it.
Here's a fun fact. I've never read any of those books.
Well, girl, you better get to my mama's house.
You think she can like loan me one? Like she'll mail me, I'll mail her one back.
look, she'll quiz you on them and be like, what? I mean, like, I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, it's all the things. I remember as a little girl growing up, and you know, Cabbage Patch dolls were really popular. And when I was growing up, it went to the corn silk hair doll. And I wanted a corn silk Cabbage Patch so bad, but they didn't make any of the black dolls that, like, they came out with the white dolls first. And my father told me, when you can find one on the shelf that looks like you, then you can have one. So my very first Cabbage Patch doll was a boy, because they made the bald Cabbage Patch dolls before they made the corn silk ones for black girls. I mean, it was crazy. Anyway, so I'm just saying, this was like how I grew up. Like, I would, every Sunday morning, I was baptized at Ebenezer. My mom would say, go down and say, hey to Miss Coretta. And I say,
you guys, real quick, you guys can't see me, but like my jaw is on the floor, because it's such a different upbringing based off of like where you live.
Yeah. I this is true too. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. My mom, I needed that, obviously, you know, growing up, it really informed a lot of who I am. I think it's just the path that I was intended to be on, that where I am today and recognizing the transformation that I have gone through, I don't think that I would be able to talk about it or help women work through it had I not been so grounded in this blackness, you know, as I was growing up as a child. And then on the flip side, my husband grew up in North Georgia. There are certain connotations that some people have with North Georgia. Not everybody, but in my household, there certainly was. And he has the cutest, sweetest Southern drawl. So I say he's Southern born and Southern bred. He's also a police officer in a majority, you know, African-American city. Like I said, on paper, it's like we couldn't be more different. But I mean, he's definitely my soulmate. And I think that we were brought together in this perfect union because I really care about racial healing, you know, in this country and in this world. I think because we are so different, we can really help people. Maya Angelou says it better. We're more the same than we are different.
Title of the podcast. We are more the same than we are different.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So anyway, yeah. So it was when we met, I think it was really just a physical attraction. And I think that we were just not afraid to explore that rather and see, you know, okay, I think he's handsome. I think he obviously thought I was attractive. It's so funny how he tells the story of how he met me. And he was working on one of his extra jobs. He was moonlighting. And when we first met, we asked each other all the real questions. Like, I wasn't afraid to be like, yeah, so, but like, you know, you're a white police officer. Why do you, why do you arrest black men? He asked me some real questions about like, what does it mean to be a black woman in America and some of the burdens that I carry? And so I think, you know, it's one of those things that just brought us closer together, because even though sometimes our political affiliations weren't aligned, even though sometimes when we would see certain issues that come up, current events, we might have dissenting opinions about it, but it allowed us to lean in and have more conversation. And now I just, you know, I think he and I both have different perspectives. So it's been really interesting to watch the evolution of how each of us are growing, you know, in this difference.
So wait, you got to tell us. So he's a police officer. You met him when he's working a side job, whatever. Like, what, how does that happen? Like, how did you guys meet? Was it this like, oh my God, I locked eyes and I just knew that he was the one. Like, what was that like for you?
He was really good looking to me. So. And I think, and the way he says it is, I couldn't keep my eyes off him. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you can keep your eyes off me. But it was really, I'm telling you, it was straight up just physical attraction. People say, well, did you date anybody outside of your race before him? And not necessarily dated, but I, you know, like been friends or, you know, gone out on a date. So I was never the person who would see somebody who had a different race or ethnicity than me and just write them off. But I had never fully committed to somebody. And so that was new. And maybe I thought, I didn't really expect that we would be married, but I did, yeah. You know, it was cool to talk to him and get to know him.
So had he ever dated a black woman before?
Same.
So it was like a new thing.
Yeah.
You meet, there's a physical attraction. How do you guys exchange phone? Like, I want to know all the detail. and I know my listeners do too, because you know we all nosy.
No, it was like, it was literally like he says, like I was in, he describes like I was in this blue dress with my legs out. So I guess he had a thing for legs. And my husband, I think he has amazing, I mean, anyway, I don't want to go all the way. I think he's so hot. But maybe we commented to each other, you know, or looked at each other. And then he was like, well, I'm on duty and I'd love to talk to you, but I can't talk to you while I'm on duty. So after the bar closes, it was like a little dive bar.
Girls, do you hear that? You can meet your future husband in a bar. It does not have to be swipe, swipe, swipe on an app.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You just have to be open. Your perfect, your wonderful may not come in the package that you have already created. And Yolanda, that's the thing that I see so often when I talk to like my younger like cousins and friends. They have created this shell, this idea of who the person is that they can't even see who they're supposed to be with because it's like, oh no, he's supposed to be tall, dark, and handsome, and he is not. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, God sent him to you and this clothing and you missed that one, girl. So anyway, I stayed after, and if anybody knows anything about me, I'm very literal. So if you're like, stay until the bar closes, I'm going to stay until the bar closes.
Literally, that is how Stefan is. I mean, it is literally literal.
And I don't even think that he thought that I would, you know, I thought he'd be like, please, I am not staying and waiting on you. And I did. I sat on the sofa. I hung out with my cousins. And so when the bar closed, he came over and he bought me and my cousins drinks. And one of his friends was making jokes, and he's very charismatic and charming, my husband is. And so he, you know, charmed me, and, you know, we exchanged numbers, and the rest is history. Here we are.
Really? That was like all she wrote. Like,
yeah.
Wham, but, bam, signed, let's date. How long did you guys date before you start talking or thinking about like, this is it, this is marriage? Because Stefan, and I totally can appreciate what you say about your counterparts having the perfect picture in their heads. And again, I'm all about helping women break up with this identity and these rules and, this isn't the way that I dreamed it. Because when we start resisting, we're just blocking what the universe is sending towards us. It's always working for us. It's always putting people into our path. But that was me with Stefan. It was like, what? And I dated. I always dated outside of my race, to be honest. I've dated one black guy, maybe like made out with a couple black guys, like whatever. But always to me just had a preference, like, or an attraction. I don't really know what you call it, towards people that had a little less melanin in their skin. And that just is it. And it's not that I thought I was any better than anybody. You know, people have all these weird fucking ideas. But it just was a preference. And I remember being like, you're 45, have kids. Like, it was everything against my criteria. Yet when people look at us, he is legitimately everything that I've needed, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And I think that what you were just saying is so important, because when it goes even back to the divorce, right? Like, I said yes to a marriage that I shouldn't have said yes to because I wanted to have, because of my image, because of what I thought that I was supposed to be doing. And the truth is, my daughter was always meant to be here. Like, she was born on Christmas Day. I mean, like, if it wasn't any other, right? It's like God said, hey, in case you were ever wondering about this, like, I'm going to give you this gift. It was definitely confirmation that, like, she came in with a bang, you know, I'm here and I'm meant to be here.
Never question the path that you have walked. Like, that's so powerful.
Yeah. So my now husband, he and I dated for 5 years before we got married. So I'll tell you this funny story. So we talked on the phone for, I'm really traditional too, which is so weird. Like, I'm not, but I am, like, in dating. And so we talked on the phone for several weeks. And, you know, when I was dating, you met, you went out, and like either you did or you didn't. And sometimes you did and you still didn't. You know what I mean? And so we talked for several weeks on the phone. I never even once mentioned that I had a daughter, because I was like, I don't know if he's creepy. Like, I don't need any shit. And then I also didn't want him to not see me foreseeing the situation. And so the first day he came, our first date, he came to the house, and, you know, you get your girlfriend to answer the door because, like, she's getting ready, have a seat, you know, like.
No, I've never done that. I've always opened my own door, or because I was always a one-line dater, I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to meet you at wherever we're going.
That is probably the safest way to do it. Like, here I am, like, I don't be creepy, but come to my house, by the way, you know,
and he's a cop. He's going to find you either way.
Right. So we, you know, I come out and I've got pictures of my daughter all over my place. And so we're like walking to the car and he goes, oh, actually we were driving to the restaurant and he goes, wait, so who's the little girl in all the pictures? Is that like your goddaughter or your niece? And I was like, oh no, I'm sorry. That's my daughter. He was like, oh wait, you have a daughter? Yes, I do.
Small detail. Really small. She's really tiny. Small detail.
So it was like, and so he, I'm sure on the way to the restaurant, he was like, oh, this is some bullshit. But he went, but we went out to dinner and, you know, the thing is it, we just really, you know, we just jive. Like we were just like, you know, like, our souls just connected. It just, you know, it just was. And so, but we wanted to make sure we were just intentional about my daughter. And so we, the 5 years, I mean, I went 5 years before meeting his father. He went nearly 5 years before meeting my family. Like we wanted to make sure that we, I guess I was, you know, thinking about the relationship that I was in. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't like Elizabeth Taylor and like had divorce on divorce on divorce, and which is fine. I just didn't want that for me. And then he had never been married nor had children of his own. And he was at the time 35. So we got married at 40. He was 40 rather. And so I think we were both just wanting to make sure that this was what we wanted to do and that it was right. And we didn't want any outside influence to like mess it up. And the truth is we said like, if it couldn't work between him and my daughter, it couldn't work for us. So we had to, you know, be very protective of that.
I love that. Women, listen to this. You guys didn't let any outside forces sway you. And I think specifically with the dynamic of you coming from this family where, you know, your family probably, I think, sounds like probably was very closed off this idea of you being outside of your race. And then him coming from, you know, just being a good old Southern boy, like whatever they call them. And maybe that being something completely out of the realm of their minds, like what they could even fathom happening. And you just did, like you just did you. Like I love that. And I think that so many of us can learn from that. Me, on the other hand, I like just introduce my boyfriends. I don't care. So I don't have a male influence to give a shit over whatever. My mom kind of just knows like I'm always going to do whatever I'm going to do. So how long was it before you introduced your daughter to your, you know, boyfriend at the time? Because I know that that is like a lot of things that people like go back and forth. Like when is the right time? What did that look like for you guys?
Yeah. So I think we probably were like a year in dating before she actually met him, which, you know, I, even now I kind of think about that because, so she calls him by his first name. I know a lot of people who, you know, date, who have children and they call the new person. So for me, I actually am also, my parents were divorced, I was 18 months old and my mom was remarried. And so my father is actually my stepdad, but he's the only dad I've ever known. And I call him dad, you know? And so my daughter, you know, she calls my now husband by his first name, or, and I'll tell you a little, our lifestyle brand, Staddy, that's what she calls him when she like wants something special. Like it's her affectionate name for him. Like, Staddy, can I go to the mall? You know, I think it was like a year that we dated before we introduced her, but it was also not like, he wasn't like coming and like taking her to the park and teaching her how to ride her bike. It was like literally like if he came over to pick me up and the babysitter was there. So she didn't really interact with him until we knew that we were gonna, you know, have a real relationship. In fact, there was a time when we decided that we wanted to go on vacation together. I think we may have been three or so years into our relationship. And we went to Disney and I was so... God, I'm thinking about who listens to this. But I was so frustrated because, you know, I was like, so what's up, you know? I mean, we're on vacation. Like, did we get to, you know, like we haven't seen each other. And he was like, oh my, I was so impressed with his willpower because, you know, not that my daughter was in the same room, but you know what I mean? Like she was not in the same bed rather, but you know, like I was like, can we sneak to the bathroom or anything? And he was so adamant about like not kissing me, like just making it not feel uncomfortable for her and her being exposed to this side of a relationship without us all like moving at like this pace. So, and I think it has really helped because she has an amazing relationship with him too. We talked to her about like, so who's going to take, you know, when you get married, who's going to walk you down the aisle? And she's so clear that it's daddy and daddy, you know, walking down the aisle. So it's cool.
Yeah. So how old was she when you met your husband? Like, was she old enough to understand like, hey, this is another man that my mom likes? How old was she?
2.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a baby. Yeah. Okay. But you know, it's interesting. So she was young, but this was her father only got remarried, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So while I was moving into a place where I was getting, you know, into a more serious relationship with someone else, he was still, you know, coming up every weekend, getting her every holiday, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that she was experiencing the dynamic of having 2 people in her life, you know, in that way, and having 2 dads. But that could also be why she has a great relationship with both of them, you know.
Your now husband, when you're dating, did he have reservations with you having a kid? Because I know for me, that was like one of my criterias. I was like, I don't want to date anybody that has children. And I think for me, like I'm very open, I'm very public and speak on it with the idea of being child free and that women have this choice and it's totally a choice. So to my woman here listening, like, oh my God, I'm 34, my eggs are about to expire and I don't really know if I want to have kids. It's okay.
Yeah.
But for me, I just knew that if I were going to date somebody that was like 32, like my age at the time, that they probably were going to have younger kids. And that was not something that I personally was interested in entertaining. So I'm just curious what that looked like for your now husband at the time.
So the funny thing is, I don't even think it was a matter of me having a child. He was not looking to be married. When we were dating, I always say he's an amazing husband, but he was a terrible boyfriend. And like in the sense that he didn't know how to date. He was, because he'd been single for so long. I mean, he had a full-blown home. I mean, he was like, his life was set. And again, we got married when he was 40. I think we had talked about having like a non-traditional marriage where he was like, well, what if this idea of like, you live in one place and I live in another place and we just see each other and we continue to date, because he thought that marriage would be complicated. But I wasn't going to have
Wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. And I don't know how known this is, because Stefan and I have been engaged for 2 years now. I'm in absolutely no rush. He's like, you know, he always asks and I'm like, we'll do it when I'm fucking feel like it. But when we met, he was not wanting to have a marriage again. We were really upfront. You're older than me. You got kids. Like, you've been divorced. Like, what really do you want from me? And he was like, I'm just looking for a girlfriend. I'm just looking for somebody to do like fun stuff with. Yeah. And I think for me at that time in my life, it took so much pressure of like, okay, I'm just having fun. And there's no like being on this timeline, being on the schedule. Let's just see what happens. And then eventually, you know, he was like, he'll tell you he was in love with me when he saw my picture on Match, which, I mean, maybe it's true. Who knows? I'm pretty awesome. But, you know, like, I think when you get really set in a way, and I talk about this all the time, I don't know that I'm going to take his last name. I'm like, that just seems like a lot of fucking, like, drama that I don't know. But many people are just looking to do that. What, I guess, shifted your boyfriend at the time, but now husband, like, what shifted? Like, what was that? Oh my gosh, I can't let you go. I want to be, you know, like this real life, like, let's play house for real. What was
that? Yeah. So we actually broke up over our 5-year stint. So I was going to back up and say what you were saying is just so awesome, because for me, it's exactly what I needed. I tell people all the time that it forced me to slow down. Cause remember now, like I jumped into a marriage, like, oh yeah, okay, I got to do this because of the situation. And I think that he taught me how to have a relationship. Because I thought that a relationship meant that we saw each other every day. We talked, you know, traditional, like we talked on the phone all the time, and we would go days and he would like not talk to me. And I'd be like, or he wouldn't call me. He, you know, we'd go out on a Wednesday and I wouldn't hear from him until Sunday night. And I would be like, well, that's not a boyfriend. And so that's how we dated for a good while. And I think he was just, you know, we were being friends who, like you said, enjoy doing fun stuff together. And that's what he wanted, a companion. And I, what changed is I got frustrated because I felt like I was investing a lot and I wasn't sure. It's like the quintessential Carrie and Mr. Big scenario. We broke up one Christmas. Christmas brought us together, Love Actually. And we hung out together for some time. And I spent my first Christmas at his house with my daughter. And it was time for her to go to school and me to go back to my place, you know, for us to get ready. And he asked me, could I just stick around for a little bit? And I've been there ever since.
So you guys, okay, we keep it real raw. I'm free. I want to know. You can, you don't have to answer. So, okay. So you guys are doing fun things. You're going out. Are you intimate with each other? Like, because I'm sorry, but if I'm like having sex, like you better be calling me, like you better be DMing me, you know, just letting me know like, hey, I appreciate you. I'm here because as women, especially like we legitimately secrete different hormones when we have orgasms that make us more attached to a man. Like, you know, so I can't like, I just need to know. Like, so you guys had an intimate relationship.
Like, the intimacy, like I said, we were physically attracted to each other. God, I hope my mom doesn't listen to this. If I'm keeping it real, it was first night. Like we were physically attracted to each other. And yes. And I think that, and so that's why things for me, we had to go through the breakup because I was feeling like, okay, I'm investing. And I need to not, I don't want to play house because I also didn't want to have a repeat, you know? And I think, and so for him, he needed that time because he had so much freedom and flexibility before. And so I think, you know, we were just like kind of balancing, you know, we were doing that tango of like, okay, so if I take you out on Wednesday and the date is fabulous, then like by, you know, Friday, I'm not that mad, but Sunday I'm like, okay, this is bullshit. And he's like, okay.
I mean, if I'm putting out, like, bro, I need you to call me. Like, because I just think, like, as women, you want to feel a certain type of way if you're giving of your energy and your body. And like you said, like, investing in someone, like, I don't know that people really realize this or think about it this way, but we are sleeping with people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about women empowerment. Girl, you go do with what your body that you want to do.
Yeah.
But when we are sleeping with people, this is literally a very physical, intimate exchange of energy amongst two people.
Sure.
And I really do think like there's a certain level of respect, or then you like sit around questioning yourself, well, like, does he really like all y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of y'all are doing that shit to yourself. Okay. You're allowing these men to be that way. And we're not setting a standard that you don't sleep with me on a Wednesday and then I don't hear from you till Tuesday. Like, no.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the other thing is like I said, even though I'm very a traditional person in terms of relationships, I'm also like one that doesn't like, I don't go with the status quo. I mean, obviously, and I don't think I realize that until I have come to this point of like telling my story and realizing what my actual living in my purpose. And I think that in my dating with him, it was non-traditional. It wasn't the status quo. So while in the moment I might have said to myself, or looking back at it and saying, oh my God, how did you go from Wednesday to like Sunday and not hearing from him and y'all are hooking up? Maybe that was, you know, me growing and that it was okay for us to, you know what we had and that it wasn't defined, because I had been in relationships where I'm seeing you like every day, but when you take me on a date, I don't feel special. I don't feel like, you know, if I called him and if my tire blew out on the expressway, which it had before, I knew I could call him. He would get to me. You know what it is. I've been in relationships where I could be like, you know, dang, could you come over and move my sofa? I don't move sofas. You know what I mean? And so I had to measure like who he was and how we were dating against what I had experienced in the past. And the only difference on his end was that it wasn't an everyday thing, but when we were together, it was amazing. And so I was willing to, you know, again, that tango of moving a little bit and compromising with him. But at some point I had to like call the question on like, either we are or we aren't, because I also have a child who is kind of moving a little bit with this too. I'm telling you, my girlfriends and some of my cousins who are like sisters to me, there was some folks who were like, I would be done with him. I did not even change his name in my phone until we moved in together. It was his last name. They would be like, oh, he's calling. Uh-oh, must be something.
Yeah, it's just like truly a different dynamic. It wasn't necessarily that you were making an excuse for him because you guys had a great time and all of this. So to the woman that's listening, like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm just letting him be. Like, there's a difference between letting him be and analyzing your situation and then just doing things to appease people, and you don't feel special and you don't feel like a queen when you are in this person's presence. And I know one of y'all listening to this, and you might even be married. Like, assess your situation. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And if somebody's not, like, it's not this bend over backwards, but if somebody is, you're seeing them every day and they don't make you feel special. I don't love talking about, I feel like Stefan is like so present in my media and people know him, but there's like I set a boundary with him too. I'm not just a piece of meat. Like, you need to make me feel special. I want to feel a certain type of way as a girlfriend, as a fiance. Like, these are things that you have to do. And he's really literal. So if I tell him this is what you got to do, like, he's just going to do it. And it's not about like having power, but it's demanding of respect. And I think that kind of is, obviously you were showing up in a certain energy that when you guys were together, he was treating you a certain way that was different from the Joes, Smos that you saw every damn day and wouldn't come rescue you on the side of the road.
Right. You know, and the other thing is, I also, because of like the previous relationship, I knew that what I valued most was his characteristics or his character traits, right? So I was like, you know, integrity was so important. So he gets his hair cut. And I was like, oh, my cousin's a hairstylist. You should let her cut your hair. And he did. And I was like, you don't have to worry about tipping her or giving pay. Or he's like, it's a service I'm going to pay. And so things like that, you know, his integrity, his honesty.
That was more reason for him to tip her double. Hello?
No, but it is. You're right. That is so true. But you know how it is. Like, you're like, oh, don't worry. It was more like me, like, don't, I got you, boo. You know? And so just the things, you know, his faith. The fact that he, you know, he was, you know, a man of faith. And so just the things that I knew mattered to me over his personality mattered so much more than some of the things like, was he calling me and was he coming to see me? Because I knew that that could carry us through a lifetime. And it has, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. So to the women listening, okay, we got to evaluate the personality and then the action, because I think some of us make excuses for actions where the personality sucks and then vice versa. Like, make sure that brother or hey, maybe sister, like whatever, has like those two things, the personality and the action. Because I do think that even if you have like this like ideal picture that you do, you'll shift, you'll make like your exceptions. But again, it's not that you're necessarily lowering your standard. It's that you are taking into consideration all the things. So you guys have two very totally different backgrounds. It took your families a long time before they really met. Bringing children into this now, how is that? Did your husband want kids? I mean, he was 40, kind of like living the bachelor life. Were kids in the picture for him at the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he were going to be married, he wanted like, you know, a whole sloth of children. But is that what do you call it? A sloth of children? Slew of children?
A brood, a clan, a fucking football team. I don't know. People have a lot of kids.
Yeah. I know. But see that. And so my oldest is 7 years older than our youngest. He's 47 and she's 7. And so I got to the point where, well, first of all, I'll just be clear. I love my children and I love children, but I hate pregnancy. I'm just honest. Like, it is not, it is the worst for me. Morning sickness and just all the stuff. Being swollen, I don't like it. And so it's that like wall that I'm always hit with when I even think about having another baby. Because we met so late in life and the circumstances were what they are or were, I didn't have the opportunity to like, we didn't get to like travel the world together or like, I don't give a fuck, let's go backpack for a week. We didn't get that. We only are now kind of getting back to being able to do stuff as adults when we have the resources. And my 13-year-old 10-year-old can stay with our 7-year-old. And so that also kind of makes us feel like, do we want more children? But to answer your question, oh my God, yeah. The joke in the house with him is he's like, you won't even give me another baby.
You selfish, but, girl, you selfish. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it was good. Like, you know, it's fun and he loves them so much. And the relationship that he has with my oldest is just amazing. He adores her, you know?
Yeah. So the grandparents, what is that like? Like, do they have great relationships with the grandparents on each side?
Oh yeah. We talk about like making sure that fear isn't the thing that gets in the way. And we were both kind of a little fearful about what our respective families would think. And the funny thing is, it doesn't go the way that you would imagine, right? Like, I thought that there was going to be a lot of hang up on his side, but he only really, he has a very small family anyway. And it has just been amazing. His father would pen pal my oldest, like write her letters every week. And when she was like 6, she would be like, yeah, that's my best friend.
You know? Oh, I love
yeah.
It.
And so like, we just didn't know. And again, we didn't want the influence of any, you know, external factors, and they have an amazing relationship. His father does a lot to make sure that my daughter is always included. So like if my youngest has a birthday, and he sends her a card just to make sure that my oldest never thinks that there's any difference, he sends her a card too. I mean, it's beautiful the way that he does it. And on my side, of course, you know, they're my girls, so my family, you know, there's mm-hmm. nothing in terms of the relationship, but we're all learning, you know, we're all growing and evolving. My family is, I have an amazing family. I have a really big family, and we're all really close. We were all raised pretty similarly, like 90% of us went to HBCUs, like, we're in Black sororities and fraternities.
Historically Black colleges, for those of you guys that don't know, and universities.
That's right. And one of the things we chuckle at a lot is I used to work in an organization where I was the only person of color at all. And I would come home and I would say, it's so hard to be the only. And he would say, I know what you mean, because I feel like that at Sunday dinner. You know?
Yeah.
So it's, we're growing.
Yeah. Let's wrap this thing up. Hardest thing about marriage.
The hardest thing about marriage is, I think, just individual growth. And what I mean by that, so like, you know, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, being an entrepreneur, he's got a traditional job. He goes to work, he gets a paycheck. If I don't work, I don't eat, you know? And so I'm growing in a differently than he is. And so just, you know, I think that is something that makes it can be challenging sometimes. I don't know, maybe, and that just sounds like, really, is that the hardest thing about marriage?
Yeah. I think that that's actually one of the things that breaks a lot of marriages is people don't know how to grow differently, but also grow together. And this is actually a challenge in dating somebody a little bit older, because I'm in my 30s. Like, this is kind of that prime, like, hustle, grind. It's ugly. I'm working to build my legacy, where Stefan has done that. And, yeah, you know, he still works and needs to work, because hello. Right. Actually, for anybody listening to this, no, he does not pay my bills. If I can. I have $4 in my bank account right now. And I'm I don't want to go on the red, but I'm willing to. It just is my life. You know? But, you know, I think that we have to have that conversation sometimes. And even for me, like, I'm sitting here, I'm podcasting. Sometimes there has not been a respect of be quiet. Like, she's doing something that is part of her passion and what she's doing, and seeing it as a real life thing, because I don't leave to go to work. Yeah. And right now, maybe my bank account doesn't reflect the hard work that I'll do to edit this podcast and all these things, but it's still work, and it's passion work. And so I do think that that's always something, even in the back of my mind, I'm like, does he get stagnant because he's already achieved a lot of his like check in the box lifetime goals, where I feel like I'm just really starting to believe in myself and get started. And I'm really real with that, is we got to grow together, different rates, different paces, but it has to be together. And if that doesn't work, then it is. That's a hard conversation to have, but it's a conversation that I think more of us need to be comfortable with having, because I know that there are women that stay stagnant, that stay stuck because their partner isn't as supportive in their own individual growth journey, which is actually really fucking sad.
Yeah. You know, it is. And I think that we talk a lot, you know, and I always try to give him like time frames. Like, in half the time I don't live up to them because like, you just never know, but I'm always like, just give me this amount of time. And I'm always trying to paint the bigger picture for him. Like, this is where I see myself going. This is the legacy that I want to leave behind. But it's just been a real challenge. But then I also like, you know, I also try to recognize like who he is and give him the space to be that and reflect it to him. Like, you know, like, look, I get it that this is the thing that you're used to. Like, you go to work, you get a check. And so if you're feeling uncomfortable, if you're feeling vulnerable, if this feels nervous for you, then like, we should just talk about that. And like, what can I do to make you feel more secure? And sometimes he's like, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. Like with my consulting, I need you to figure out how to close a client because I feel like I'm anxious. And I say, okay, I'll do it. Or, you know, I'll just figure out what I can do in the meantime to make him at least feel a little better so that I can keep moving in my passion.
Absolutely. And if there's one piece of advice that you could give to a woman or the courageous man that comes and listens to this podcast, that you could give to someone, be it life, be it in business, just be it about anything that you've walked through yourself, what would that be?
I would say always follow your gut and your heart. Like, don't let anybody project onto you who you are supposed to be, because you will miss out on so many amazing experiences in life.
Life is so fucking simple. And it's just this thing that we complicate. And I think it becomes about looking at what makes you happy, looking at really what doesn't make you happy. And honestly, not convincing yourself that just because it made you happy once, it has to continue to make you happy. And I think it's listening to your heart and listening to your gut. And I think when we can teach more women to lead with that inner side of themselves versus the timeline versus the expectation versus what the family says or what society says, that this is where we create more of a life where we're more in flow and harmony with ourselves and most importantly just with each other.
Andre from Outkast always says, you know, nothing lasts forever. So what makes love the exception? I shouldn't say that, but it's true. And you know, I just think that as society, we just put a lot of people in boxes and people are afraid of individuality. And, you know, you just got to be brave enough to say that just because I am Black, just because I'm a stay-at-home mom, just because I have kids, don't have kids, all the things, that it doesn't mean that you have to conform. You can be a critical thinker. You can be, you know, think for yourself and say, I'm Black and I'm, you know, conservative, or, you know, I'm a woman and I don't want children. Like, it's okay to just live the life that you were meant to live and be happy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved it. Well, it was so much fun hanging out with you today. Thank you for taking a chance and being like, clicking the damn swipe up, because I think that this was really what I see this as, being a platform for our stories and empowering people. And I think that this is one of those things, like, where it comes back to the next time somebody asks a question about an interracial relationship, it's like, hey, go reference this episode. Or, you know, I'm trying to date people and I have children. Like, what does that look like? Oh, hey, go listen to this episode. We all have the power to inspire. We all have the power to educate, because at the end of the day, the universe is handing you something to walk through so that you can help lead somebody else through. And that just is always my philosophy in life.
Yeah, no, I thank you so much for having me. And honestly, I was so nervous to get on this podcast, and you are amazing at what you do, and you have a great gift to be able to just flow in the conversation. So thank you so much for giving me the platform.
Yeah, thank you. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4 on the clock. You guys know I love reminding you of your angel numbers. So when we see 1, 2, 3, 4, it just simply means that you're living in purpose and you're going up and you're ascending with your higher master. So there is how we just going to close this off. And again, I thank you so much for hanging. And to my friend that's listening, girl, follow your heart and follow your gut today. My mission to empower you to embrace living your life real, raw, and free as fuck. I love you so much. I'll see you next time. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I want to say thank you for hanging out with me today. I love being wherever you are. So make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if any of this spoke to you, go share it with a friend. Tag me in your stories today, XO_Yolanda Russell with 2 S's and 2 L's. And you might as well go ahead and tag Real Raw and Free Podcast. It's my mission to empower you to embrace living your life real, raw, and free as fuck. I love you so much. I'll see you next week.